welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Now, this guest in my eyes is iconic. She's an actress, comedian, and television presenter, and a big part of my childhood. Remember You've Been Framed?
What? You follow that?
Yes, I'm using the word iconic again. Nowadays, however, our guests can also be found playing the role of Mandy Dingle on Emmerdale. Yeah. It's an absolute honour. Lisa Riley,
Gorgeous girl. Welcome to
the Monday Mile podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I didn't really thought that I was acting, you know, as a You've Been Framed. You got what I'm doing, but we didn't get 250 quid.
You've got the creds. You know what? If You've Been Framed still was around, I reckon I'd have so many moments from my snowboarding career. Like, yeah. We're talking like face plants, being taken out by skiers.
So many.
Skiers, you like that emphasis on the skiers?
Yeah, definitely. I think I look back now though, and I think, like, obviously, and it's not like kind of female domination thing, but prime time, when people watch television more, on a Saturday night having a woman, when they took a big risk asking me to do that show, a big risk.
What makes you say that?
Because at the time, back then, when you were like probably an embryo, it was the Saturday night television was predominantly male. There was kind of only really me and Davina McCall, you know, back at that time. And yeah, we were getting like 11 and a half million viewers.
I mean, that's
insanity. You know, for watching people fall over.
Yeah,
you know,
brilliant. But people loved that.
Yeah, they did. And it was great. It really, really was. And, you know, we had a great time filming up in Manchester. And yeah, it's a fun time in my life. I'm really lucky. Yeah.
Can we recreate that somehow? Yeah. Can you bring it back?
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Now, I always said that because then when Harry Hill went to do it as a narrative, it kind of didn't need that big sort of schmancy audience, you know. Yeah. It worked because fundamentally it's just the people falling over that we're laughing at, right? Or the kids being cute, or, you know, someone at a fairground shuddering on a ride they don't want to be on and stuff. And with that, it was good when Harry Hill did it as just like a narrator. That's all it needed. Yeah.
Little narration.
Yeah.
Now, we first connected through, I think it's quite like magical almost, through purely like locking eyes with each other.
Yeah.
And the sort of synergy of energy.
Yes.
Now,
which I believe in so strongly. Yeah.
Your energy is so infectious that we didn't actually even need to speak to form a connection.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah, but I feel exactly the same about you. Like, obviously, we've got so many mutual friends, but I've, like, seen your posts and I've seen you interviewing on TV and with Jeanette and with Katie and stuff. And you're literally, like, what I call, you. It's going to sound really weird, right? Crimpers. Okay, you can be like, what? You know, hair crimpers.
Yeah.
Right, so you can straighten your hair, you can blow your hair.
Yeah.
Well, crimpers make you a bit,
yeah.
That's you. And I love crimper people. Does that make sense?
Well, I love having my hair crimped.
Amen.
So I'm going to take that as a massive compliment.
It is in my crazy head, yes.
In fact, I should probably buy some crimpers.
Yeah, we're going curries now.
Yeah. Let's get us off to Paz's, get some crimpers. How do you protect your energy, though? Because with your job, that's a very on job. You walk out of your job role and you're still on because people recognise you in the street. So how do you preserve that? And do you need to preserve it?
Yeah, you fully do. And when you've got a job like Emmerdale, of which I adore, you know, if you think, God, I'm that old, babe. Next July, I would have been in the show 30 years. Mandy Dingle's been there for 30 years. Yes, I had a massive gap in the middle doing all my other programmes, but 30 years at Emmerdale. So I've been in people's living rooms every night, Monday to Friday, and some specials for a lot of time. And they escape through my character. That's why soaps are so popular.
Yeah.
Because it's like people take a breath and they go, oh, look at their lives or the tragedy we're having. And they link into us. So they truly believe that's the difference. Whereas I can walk here with you now and it's me and you together. Whereas people expect me to be Mandy. That sometimes it's like, I'm not her. You know, I'm confident. I'm a bit like louder, so it's like she is. I never wear leopard print ever in my life. It's sometimes they want me to be Mandy. So if I'm in a bistro with my family who I love and adore, and I'm just like taking my niece to the toilet, they're like, "Where, Mandy? Mandy?" And I'm like, oh, hi, like, shh, we're in a restaurant. You know? So that side of it sometimes makes you go, you know, you get a little bit embryotic, don't you? Because you kind of go, right, I'm not Mandy now. But
so
everyone's
do
lovely.
You turn in at that point?
Sometimes, when it gets really loud. That like boarding a train, everyone's like, Mandy, there's only one Mandy, didn't
go. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I go to Ellen Road, like, to the football, and like, it's Mandy, didn't go. I'm like, going, wow, okay. Which is testament to the character. They really like her, and like, boys like her, girls like her, kids like her. She has a good, like, range, you know, demographic. But yeah, sometimes you're just like, oh, please be quiet. Yeah, sometimes.
That must be really fulfilling to play a role that people love. Yeah. Because I can imagine as an actor to pick up one of the, say, nastier roles. Imagine walking out in the street and people are like, oh, you.
Yeah, well, that happened. Claire King, who plays Kim Tate, who was like the mega bitch for years. We've been there more or less the same time. And we were coming down to do like, it was like a Lorraine Kelly or This Morning.
Yeah.
So we were on the train from King's Cross coming down to London. And at the time, Kim Tate's character on screen was being the bitchy that she is and quite nasty towards Mandy Dingle. And these two nanas come round. No. They've got a brolly and they're like, don't be no vulnerable to Mandy. Yeah. Because again, they take it,
that's
they think, but then the good thing about soaps, which I think is so fantastic, is when you get like Belle's storyline, The Coercion now, which is hit by millions of women in this country. And, you know, Eden's performance, not only has she won all these awards, we're telling a story that is so important to have awareness if you are in a coercive relationship, and it's brought it right to the forefront. And then you will have programmes like You'll Arrange, you know, things like that, that will then pick up on the storyline
and expand on it.
Your breast cancer, all stuff like that, you know, which we're bringing topics like when Marlon's character had his stroke, you know, apparently the figures went insane where people knew how to look out for stroke, you know, which is great. It's helping people.
Yeah, so an incredible platform also to raise awareness of so many acute causes. Now, you've been in the spotlight for years.
Yeah. Since I was 11.
In that time, you must have seen the media landscape really, really change with the introduction of social media from the hardcore press headlines.
Yes.
To now.
Yeah.
How have you found that?
Well, back in the day, right, when the soaps were in their crazy millions, like, you know, touching like 16 million, we were paper fodder. So there was like myself on the Emmerdale, you had like Marty McCutcheon, Patsy Palmer, forgive me, on EastEnders.
Yep.
And then the girls on Coronation Street. We were like the paper fodder. So if we came to London, had a night in Brown's nightclub, and we'd had a few too many, we were on the front cover of every paper then, right? They were obsessed with us. And it was a different world back then. Yeah. Whereas now, the online thing, I find it scary. And all the kids at work call me Nana because they don't know anything different. They don't know my old life of being in a soap opera back in the day, what it was like. They only know present day. And the thing that worries me is when I say to the young'uns, and I catch them out all the time.
Oh, like, yeah, come
only,
on.
Only for the love in my heart, because I care for them so much. Is they'll go, no, I didn't see it. And it's like, and then we'll be talking later. And then they'll go, well, yeah, there was the episode last night, you know, with like Lisa and Amy. And I was like, I thought you didn't see it. And they had, because they go looking for it. And what they'll do, out of 700 beautiful messages, like, oh, I love what you've done, I love your performance, then what you'll get is, you'll get three where people are vitriolic about your physicality, about your accent. And it's a different league of bullying, to the point where you go, somebody has typed that. What
disgusting.
Human being could sit there and put that? And then we talk about trolls. My argument, and I do this a lot, I add them.
No way.
I do.
What,
I
like,
do.
You follow them?
I follow them.
No way.
Because I'll really do the head. I won't respond and go, like, why are you so nasty? I just follow them because I go, right, I want to go in your world now. Why is your world and what is your world?
And why are you so nasty?
Yeah. Give me a bit of you.
That's killing them with kindness. That's very tactical. I like
it
that.
It makes them think.
Yeah, but you
do have to have an incredibly thick skin. You'll know that as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Because for some reason, currently, people love to throw the javelin.
Yeah.
And but that javelin's got to land. And when they're typing that, where do they think this javelin's landing?
In the inbox. And you're going to see it. Let's be honest. Everybody checks their DMs.
Yeah.
You check your DMs?
Yes, sometimes.
Deep DMs? You check mine, right?
Slid in my DMs. Yeah. That I don't know. I don't. Again, I was like, I remember for ages going, people talk about, I don't know what it is. And now I do, for the young'uns. Like, my niece is 6 years old, right? She's confident. She goes to drama school and stuff like that. But I do see her doing the whole, this kind of, and I'm like, it's this sass that I've never seen. And like going, the other day, like, I took some Lego down. She went, I don't have time for Lego. You're six.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think by watching your YouTubers and what they see online, and like her saying diapers, it's a nappy, babe. Yeah, you're from Bury. They're called nappies.
Not from LA.
Yeah. They're feeding off what they're given. And if they're enjoying it, fair dues. But if I was a parent, then I would have what you call tablet time.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a point where you go, come away from it. And this, I know Jeanette spoke to you about this, that whole like putting your phone down at night time, like I don't. And when I'm on set, like I never take my phone on set. Some people do, because I think if you're scrolling,
you're not present.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I like people.
I like people.
I love that. I love people. I like to learn from people, not for what I'm told. It's like if you, let's say you said to me today, oh, should we go to Windsor for the day? So many people go, Windsor. No, let's me and you go
and
we'll fall upon stuff and then we might find something really pretty. Not like, No, I do sound like a nun, I don't.
No, you know what? I think that's so, so refreshing. Like, I love to travel. I love to explore. I love to do stuff. But we are so now programmed to travel and explore by guidance, that being the phone. I did Hunted a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool because it was almost like relearning how to live and explore, because you couldn't plan because we didn't have technology.
That's
and you just be. I think that in itself is a huge, huge takeaway for any of our listeners.
Yeah.
So give me an example of recently where you've gone and done that.
Many. So me and my half elf, I don't drink and I have a positive life and we do like to travel a lot. And I'm the sort of person that if someone says to me, let's go to Tajikistan, and my dad's like, you can't go there. It's like, why can't I? Because of what you see on Sky News. When I go and I go and see the beautiful side of the world, then I'll show you that that's actually not what you've been told. So I do kind of fight against that sometimes. And I love discovering. And I love watching online people that I care about discovering the world, because the world's an incredible place. And people, again, what I said before, you know, you learn from different kinds of people and not, again, what you're told. I've been in company that people go, no, America's not for me. Why? It's just not. Why? I've not even been.
That's crazy.
You've not even been.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I'm the sort of person that would look at the bigger picture, as it were. And, you know, people say to me, oh, you'll never see Lisa and Al on a package holiday in Tenerife. And that's fine. If you want to do that, go for it. Amazing. But that, I would rather walk into that tree than do a package holiday in Tenerife.
Yeah, I don't think package holiday is my vibe either.
No, it makes me literally
act like this. But you definitely inspired me for when I go on holiday next week, actually, to not necessarily follow the online guidance of where's good to go, because it is too easy to do that.
Yeah, it's like in Manhattan, right? Let's break it down, right?
Yeah.
So a donut is a donut is a donut. Now, there's going to be a 5-star donut, there's going to be a 2-star donut and a 1-star donut, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's to who is eating this donut. Then because of TikTok, you're in Manhattan, you see this line goes on for like a mile and a half.
Yeah.
As people going, hi guys, oh my God, we're getting the donut. Why? Because that was told, why don't you get out that line?
Yeah.
And go and discover Manhattan on your own. You'll have another hour and a half to discover Manhattan on your own. You might find another donut place.
Yeah, that nobody knows about because it wasn't on TikTok.
Amen. Oh, I love you for that.
Yeah.
That's the part of what I call sheep mentality. Then again, the famous word of influencer. What are we influencing? I want to influence myself. I want to fall over, put a plaster on my knee because I've cut it, and then see how many days it takes to heal. Don't tell me to put what plaster on. I'll do it myself. Isn't it weird?
It's crazy because we're
really
definitely
old. I hope
No. I think actually it's just raising awareness of the fact that we are now living in this state of like autopilot. The fact you said you don't take your phone on set.
No.
That has got to be the biggest rarity. So I did a TV show the other day. Everybody in between was just on their phone. Like, so nobody was actually talking.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
In essence,
yes.
Right, let's look back at the sort of two landscapes. You've lived through the transition of hardcore headlines and being in that press.
Yeah.
Versus the now. Do you think the social media world can be more poisonous to somebody's career than their hard-hitting headlines?
The word is fickle.
Fickle, okay.
It's fickle.
Right.
It's the fickle of now with the internet.
Okay.
Because I know you, after what we said about our twin flame, right?
Yeah.
You naturally have in your belly fire.
Yeah.
You want to do good in life.
Yeah.
You want to succeed in life. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
At all. And you can just be, and people will pick up on that. And listen, don't get me wrong, it's a dog eat dog work, you know, industry we work in, right? Yep. And you want to be front and center. Again, brilliant. But know that just by being you as your individual is what the attraction is.
Yeah.
It comes through the camera. You can't go to any drama school. You can't go to any academy and be taught that. You've been born with that, and it's within your DNA.
Ah.
Fully. I'm not going to smoke up your ass. It's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, and so as long as you are so in control of being you and embracing that individuality that you have a kookiness about you,
yeah,
then you're a winner. Not going, I must wear that jacket because I must. No, because you're a sheep and we don't want, I want more individual Amy's than, yeah.
I know what you
and
mean.
That's then my
clones.
Biggest fear.
Okay.
Yeah, so... and that's what I think we're in mass danger of. And the fear of getting it wrong. It's really, really healthy to make a mistake, to realize it's a mistake, to own who you are and own you've made a mistake and learn from it and move on, not to do what everyone else is doing. Like what we're saying, the Manhattan donut queue.
Have you always owned who you are? Because from the outside, it seems like you very much live true to you.
1,000,000,000%. I couldn't be more than that. To the point of annoyance in people.
Really?
Because I can spot it a mile off when people don't own it. It's really, really weird because I go, it's okay. It's okay to do wrong. It's okay to literally make a situation in your life that might, you know, involve your career that you've made a mistake. It's a cliche of the song, Kelly Clarkson. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
There's so much truth in that. You know, we're meant to make mistakes and we're meant to learn from them.
Being true to you,
yeah.
Would you say it's been conducive to the success of your career? Because you've had an incredibly long career.
I'd like to think
so. In a very tough industry.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah. Well, it's like Strictly. Look, they put me in a bracket before I even put any dance shoes on.
No.
You know, oh, here she is. Here's the fat girl. She'll be the comedy one. You know, she'll be doing Anne Widdecombe and Anton's going to drag around the floor. And in a way, it was a little bit like, I'll show you. I know I've got rhythm. I know I'm funky. You know, I can dance, I can do the jump splits at Wembley, you know.
I've already seen it on this podcast. We've been walking for about 12 minutes and I've already seen the hip flex. Go on, girl.
It's, as you know, with Strictly, sometimes, and I'm so blessed to have been paired with my best friend in the world, Robin Windsor, who's up there now looking down on us both. And, you know, I was so lucky to get him. I think sometimes on Strictly, it's not necessarily what you do on the dance floor. They watched our VT and went, you can't fake that, look at them. We were like Will and Grace. People called us Will and Grace. And that's what we were. And I think people loved us being just us. And the producers saw that. That's why they put us together.
What would you say to someone that maybe is struggling to wake up and be the true representation of them?
Again, it's like what we're saying, like it's what you're born with. You can't. I get it online all the time. I'd love to be more like you. I'd love to have your mindset. I'd love for, like literally to not care what anyone said. If someone walked past here now, can we swear?
Yeah, you crack on.
I'll do my own bit. Right, if someone walks past us now, right, and goes, oh my God, you know, and says something really offensive,
yeah.
I'd be like, wonderful, sweetheart, have a great day. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know,
that's quite powerful, being able to do that.
Yeah. No one has a right to scoff me. Only I do. Yeah. I'm the only person that can scoff me.
That is so strong.
Yeah, you can try, you know, but again, back to the javelin. It will, you know, thank God I'm a bit chubby, it bounces off me. You know?
Oh, come on.
No, it's true. It's true. And that's how I truly believe, because you get to a stage in your life where you really know what matters.
Yeah.
You know, it's like at work, they laugh at me so much, right? Because I go, here we go. Here comes the balloon arch. You know what I mean by balloon arch?
No, I don't.
Well, you know, online, again, it's like, why are you putting rose gold arch balloons with your name on it, right? Because everyone's done that, right?
Yep.
But why do you want to be the one and fearful for doing like something like, I don't know, zebra balloons, you know, and plucking out the air.
Yeah. But just being different.
Exactly. And that's who I want to be until I draw my last breath on this earth.
So you're not following the leopard print trend, are you?
No, because every day, if I wore leopard, because of the Mandingo, it's such a stamp of the character. Everything she has is leopard print and pink. As me as Lace, I kind of, yeah, get on a different train for that. Yeah.
Okay, we'll take the train the other direction.
Yeah, that's my work life, you know, and there has to be that balance when, you know, because people come up to me and they'll be like, oh my God, where's your outfit from? Because obviously Mandy's clothes, people like them a lot. And I go, that's Mandy. And then I'm allowed to be me. And I'm like you, I love being comfy. I'm such a comfy girl. Yeah, my dad says to me, why do you want to dress like a 13-year-old?
He does.
Yeah, why are you wearing your jacket? Because I'm comfy.
We've tapped into flame. Yeah. And your energy. Where does it come from? Like that persistent source of driving forward? Because you seem like you're just like a go-getter on every level.
It's my mom, another gorgeous angel. Beautiful. Oh, you'd have loved her, I tell you. You talk about a force of nature.
Go on.
Yeah. She was everybody, even before I was born, was like Kath Riley, once met, never forgotten. Right. And if ever there could be a self-mantra in life, it was how my mum was. And she has made me who I am today with my beliefs, what I believe in, again, the making mistakes that I was allowed to. And, you know, of course she was the phenomenal mother who would cradle me, pick me up and go, but she'd also go, you're an idiot. You are, you know, you need to learn from this. And she had this enthusiasm of life and gratitude of life. My mum was so grateful. Even her dying hour, it's been very well publicised in the press because I've been able to help people. You know, mum had breast cancer and then it came back in the pancreas and she died very, very quickly and died in my arms. And again, that's something I deal with daily. But as part of that, she would always say, I remember like her final chemo and she's like, oh God, look at that family. And she could see that the lady had four children all under the age of 14. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
She would never, ever
be like,
do woe is me.
Woe is
me. Yeah, and I have a bit of a problem with that sometimes. Because you've got to be the best version of you, even in your dying hours. And that's one for me and my family, you know, the stories we have, even at mum's last hours, in a way that it was, we could flip it into comedy to get through the grief. And that's great.
That's a superhuman strength.
Yeah, my mum swore at a priest on the morning she died. And it's like, go on, Kath. Yeah, you know, devout Catholic family.
Yeah,
I've been taught by nuns before I went to drama school. Yeah. And it was like, yes. And as a family, the laughter we have had because of that story. Yeah. And that's healthy. That's grief.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. Grief is such a tricky topic. And I think one where there is no answer.
No. And I've been so lucky. Again, I'm going back to about being the authentic version of myself. Some people, as you well know, in this industry, can put their name to anything, like, you know, the National Leaf Foundation. Right? Yeah. You know, and they don't really know much about leaves.
No.
Whereas I work very, very closely now with grief charities because there's kids who have lost not only one parent, both parents under the age of 25. I can really zone in on that and I can be the genuine person I am and go, you probably didn't want to go shopping today, did you? And they go, how do you know that? And I go, because I have days like that.
Yeah.
I have to go to work in Bandy Dingle on days where my heart is hurting. I've just lost my best friend. Those moments in life, I'm so lucky at work with my gorgeous girlfriends in my dressing room, all the Dingle ladies, right? And we're like bookends for each other and we can sense those days where, yes, I will get painted as managing like a drag queen, I'll put my wig on and I'll go and try and be funny in the script. But yeah, I'm happy that I can speak because of my platform and go, do you know what? I really didn't want to do that today.
Yeah.
How did I dig deep and find that comedy? I still don't know. But again, that's why you can skateboard and I would have no legs. That's why you do what you do.
Exactly. We've all got our own little vibe and path, right?
Yeah. So I'm lucky that I have my employment, of which I love my job more than ever.
How cool is that to be able to say? Because so many people wake up and they hate what they do. It's survival.
Daily. I mean, people said to me, like you said before we started recording today, you know, I'm filming like February in Emmerdale and I was filming till 2:15 in a -2 weather last night. And I got on the train at 9:05 this morning. People go, are you crazy? No, I love what I do. I love my job. For that, I'm blessed. And I'm also lucky that at the times when I need my job, I need that busyness to probably place the duvet over how I am emotionally feeling. And that's not putting it to bed.
No.
Of course, I'll come home with Al and he'll find me crying in the bath and he'll be the best partner and know how to deal with me. And sometimes I'm just really good with the radio and being in the bath and bit me.
You're cool. Time.
I am. And it's okay to cry and have that and go, I don't have my mum and I don't have my best friend. Look, you know, and that's real.
Oh.
It's real.
That's where purpose
yeah.
and people around you are everything. Yeah. And I'm so, so grateful for the people in my life right now, sure, because you are such a product of their energy as well.
Yeah. It's like the best. Imagine if you could put the best trifle ingredients in the world. You put all your besties, your family.
Yeah.
And you'd be so proud of it going, that's my trifle. And those ingredients are, there's everything, because those are the people that you love and that love you back.
You're an auntie.
Yes.
Do you like being an auntie?
Love it, because I'm giving back. I love them. I love them like my own. Me and Al were not so lucky because I couldn't get pregnant. We tried IVF. It didn't work. And he loved me enough to go, whatever they're pumping you with, they're taking Lisa away from me.
Wow.
So the hormones and everything you go through, and then the anguish of that turmoil. Do I really want to be pregnant? Am I a woman of a certain age? Should I just go, it's okay not to have children? It was a time in my life where I thought, no, because I'd met the, shall we say, the one without children. But here we are 10 and a half years, you know, and it just felt completely right. It did.
But
and it didn't work,
he's
it's okay.
The one in that he recognised that in you.
Yeah.
That in itself says something.
Doesn't it? I know.
That's so selfless. To
let me be and go, it's okay. But then what comes with that is when, as a couple, and again, it's our business, but because of my job, I talk about it, and that's fine, because I'll help other women similar to me who can't get pregnant, and it's okay. But then what goes with it is like, right, are you going to adopt?
Straight away.
It's like, what? Straight away. And then I'm going, wow, okay, so I must have children. Am I wrong? And then I know myself, and me and Al have spoken about this at length, trust me. I don't think I'm psychologically strong enough to have, if we were to go down the adoption route, my head would continuously tell me they're going to want their birth mother every day. And I can't cope with that. Call me a control freak. I'll own that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is part of who I am.
That would hurt, right? Because
totally.
I would imagine going through that process in the first instance and initially being told you can't have children has a hard hit. And then to adopt, there's huge pressures around it.
Yeah, and do you feel, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, please forgive me if I am, but I think sometimes women can really dent women. Like, I've been in company where a group of girls have said, you're not a real woman unless you've got children.
No, that's disgusting.
But yeah.
I know plenty of incredible, empowering women of all ages, actually, that don't have children.
Yeah.
Which I suppose at this point in my life makes me feel very comfortable with where I'm at.
Lovely.
But
because you know what you're about, yeah.
At the same time, I can imagine that it does come with its social pressures, and you do see groups of women going out and there might be four couples with kids and then one odd one out. And I suppose it's then where it maybe you can feel slightly isolated.
Yeah, I do. And that happens sometimes at work. I love all my girlfriends at work, please don't get me wrong. And the boys that have got children as well, obviously. But there are, I'd be a liar to say, there are moments where I'm a bit like, okay. And then what I do, probably I overcompensate with that by talking about Jakey and Josh and Evelyn, who are my nearest and dearest. And the other thing is, I'm so lucky that my brother Liam and my sister-in-law Nat let me and Al be such an enormous part of my...
That's cool.
...their lives, yeah? So with that, I'm truly blessed, truly blessed. And, you know, they'll come and stay over. And yeah, I mean, I love looking at families online. I'm not like going, oh, I wish that was me. And, you know, there they are making the pumpkins at Halloween. And there's nothing in my stomach that kind of knots and goes, I wish we had that, you know, making all the pumpkins, because this is my path.
Yeah.
That I'm really okay on.
Within that, obviously, you work so incredibly hard, but there are gaps to actually enjoy life and not necessarily do diapers.
Yeah, do diapers. Exactly.
Do diapers.
Yeah. I mean, I can go to the grid room and look at the schedule at work. And if I've got a Thursday, Friday off because of storyline and Al's free from work, and you go, oh, okay, look, we've got 4 days there. Should we go to Berlin? You know, and I love street art. I'm a real junkie for street art.
Oh, cool.
Obsessed, like globally. I love it.
And you're going around with your phone in your pocket and actually looking.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. And I love that. And sometimes what I do with friends at work who I know are also street art junkies like I am, I sometimes actually won't take the photograph. I'll have it for myself, but I won't go, oh, go and see that piece, because I want them to feel that feeling, that endorphin that I get from street art and that individuality. I want them to have that moment.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
We actually recently got a new Banksy one very close to where I live.
Yeah, I've probably got it because I'm such a geek. Don't
hate
me.
The sort of big goat
The goats, yeah, near Kew Gardens. Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got that not long ago.
No way,
yes,
did you?
Yes, and you've also got the elephant kisses near there as well.
Yeah.
They're the new ones.
What's your favourite? Sounds as though you've travelled far and wide to see.
Yeah, I think I've never done Celebrity Mastermind, but I think I would probably win if I did Banksy.
Really?
Yeah, it's that geeky, who cares?
It's awesome, geeky. I'm all for it, that's so cool.
And I love that all my mates, like literally, again, because I don't have my phone on set, see, you know, if it fires that he's just done a new piece, people will get it and someone will go, Lise, he's just landed, he's got a new one. Yeah, so.
You're like, cool, I'm gone,
yeah,
job done.
And I will, yeah, me and Al are like, we're off.
Oh, that's so,
I kind of
so
go and
cool.
find it. It's like my little jigsaw of him, yeah.
Okay,
I am Banksy. Should we exclusively say that?
Yeah, please.
It's actually me.
No, imagine.
The secret.
No, like seriously, that would be like, that would be mad.
Yeah, I pretend that I'm going finding the places. No, I'm Banksy.
Yeah,
The secret.
Yeah, brilliant. You heard it here, it's an exclusive. Lisa Riley is Banksy.
Amen.
Boom. If I was to give you the keys to freedom for the ultimate four-wheeled Michelin adventure, you can take three people with you. Where would you go?
Three people. Wow. Okay. I'm going to take my Al because he gets that feeling. He gets that feeling with me. That's one of the things I fell in love with him, where you can look at a rock and someone will go, that's just a rock. And I go, okay. It's not that to me. It makes me, So I'm going to take Al.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring my mum back from heaven.
Yeah.
Because she's going to make us laugh 24/7. And I'm going to bring Madonna. Because I love her. She's my everything. She's my world. She's my queen. She's forever. Yeah, I'm bringing them three, please. And we're going to go. Can we go to Banff in Canada?
Yeah.
Have you snowboarded there?
You know what? I've not snowboarded there, but I've stopped to have a wee at the side of the lake.
Class.
On the way to Revelstoke, which is a little bit further into the Canadian Rockies. But I'd love to go there.
Yeah, Banff is kind of, my brother's Canadian. He was born in Toronto. And I've got something within my DNA that's linked me there, like maybe in a past lifetime. Canada does something to me. And all over Canada, the people.
Yeah, the people.
The energy.
Lush,
yeah. And the way they treat us. Yeah, it'd be Canada. Yeah. Is that okay? Can I have all that?
I really like that. That sounds like a wild road trip. I mean, for sure there's going to be some sort of carpool karaoke vibe going on.
Yeah.
Banter from the mum.
Yeah.
And the free spirited vibes of let's go explore.
Yeah.
From you and Al.
And Madonna just telling me stories literally from when I bought her first record when I was a baby.
That's
and
a
why
car
I still
I
love her
be
now.
In.
Yeah.
That's a car I want to be in.
What's in fact, we could do a program from that. The three trip. Look up.
Yeah.
That's a really good concept.
There you go.
Hire a Jeep, bring three people and go wherever you want. Three
love
trip.
Love it. Love it. Let's go. So as an actor, I can imagine that diary is quite volatile and changes considerably. 2 a.m. on set last night to popping down to see me today.
Yeah.
How do you manage your own routine and have the sort of like me time within that?
Yeah, especially when you're in a continuing drama like Emmerdale, I'm very lucky that the writers do write for me. So therefore, I am learning lines a lot. I'm on set a lot and I'm reading the next lot of scripts. But I'm really lucky. We go upstairs and sort of when we sign our contract year by year, I can go up and I say, right, can I have the 2 weeks after Easter? Can I have my birthday week? Can I have Al's birthday week? And so I can look forward and go, I'm not going to be filming.
Okay.
And perfect. Of course, sometimes you're just not in storyline and then that'll come in. So we have an amazing room. It's like the Matrix room at Emmerdale. How they do that is how they jigsaw us all together in the right place at the right time. So you can go up there and there. On the walls, you've got like the further 5 weeks in advance. So like I said, I'd go in that room and find what I said before, like a Tuesday and Friday, a Thursday and Friday.
Got you.
And then, we just disappear.
That's your freedom.
Yeah. And so, but it's, as you said, it's so important to really take time for you. However that works for you as an individual.
What does that look like for you?
Quiet time. Because I'm like, you can see why I'm like all the time. Yeah. You know, I've had 3 hours sleep and I'm like this. And I have not much coffee either. Yeah, Dominic plays my husband. Like, literally, he has this brilliant body language. And I go, sorry, okay, I'm being a bit too much. Okay, I'll just go. Yeah, because, he's been like my husband all the time in Emmerdale. So, you know, we have this wonderful working relationship. But I know sometimes when I have to turn the oven down to 80 degrees. So I just have to be quiet. I'm not very good at, like, you know, your box sets. You know, when someone goes, oh, go and watch that three-parter on ITVX.
Yeah.
And it's 4 hours. I can't sit through that.
Saying that, I have just absolutely, I'd be similar. I don't love my alone time.
Yeah.
But occasionally, I need it. After a big on day, I'm so content to just be.
Yeah.
I binged the Colleen Rooney.
Oh, shit. She's my new sister hero.
Oh, my God. I love her.
I love her. I love her.
I didn't really know very much about her. But Jungle into the triple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
But don't you believe she's been what we've been talking about today? She's owned who she is.
Yeah.
She's got this schmancy house. The love from her family comes through the screen.
Oh,
it's... You know, and a mum and dad helping her.
Yeah.
And not like 64 au pairs. It's amazing.
I was literally like, I put it on my laptop and I was walking around my flat like, going to the toilet.
Yeah, and she goes to Home Bargains.
I didn't want to miss any of it.
I know. I was completely
invested. But yeah, no, I'm not really the sort of traditional box set binger either.
Yeah, I'll watch them, but I have to do it like in my own little, my attention span goes as well.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it does.
Kind of got like a similar vibe going on.
This is a true story. Last night, actually, we were in a car, a limousine, me and the lads filming. Do you know the game, I went to market? So you have to remember. Nice. So it'll go like, I went to market and I bought a bag. And then you have to remember, and it goes round.
Yeah.
And if you play it with a lot of people, obviously, you've got to keep remembering.
Oh, wow.
And I loved it. I was so invested. By round six,
you're like,
I'm out.
You're like, yeah, what?
And
bag?
I can probably remember because I remember lines, but it's like, I have to move on to something else.
How do you learn your lines? Because for me, that blows
it's
my
muscle,
mind.
Yeah, everyone says that. I like to pride myself. I'm quite good on my lines. When you're doing comedy, and you can learn any form of dialogue, but to make words or the scenario you're in funny or adding a character thing that obviously I'm creating, you need to be on the dialogue to be able to play with that. And also have brilliant actors that I'm working with that I know are incredible and will feel my vibe and I'll feel theirs.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to be on the lines. Sunday morning, I give myself a good 3 hours and I have a really good look through what's to come in the next block. And by then, it's something in my brain. It's planting itself that I'm not aware of. Then you'll revisit it during the week. And by the night before, say you're shooting, it's there.
Some people
really struggle though learning lines.
It sounds like A-levels revision.
But again, it's just a conversation.
Yeah.
If my written line and I'm playing Mandy Ding and I go, hey, Amy, should we go and rent the bicycle?
Yeah.
You're probably going to say, how much is it, Mandy?
Yeah.
It's what comes next.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what's hard sometimes? Phone calls. Because I actually have to learn.
No one on the other end?
No, there's nothing. It's just it's a black Nokia. It's nothing.
I mean, I love a chat on the phone, but I don't know if I'd be any good on my own.
Yeah, that's sometime. What I do, again, I'm so pen and paper, I can't go tech either on that. And I have to write what I believe the writer has planned for the bit in between. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
And if I don't, I can't learn it.
Yeah, fair.
So that's just learning words, not what the conversation is.
Yeah, got you. I've never thought about it like that. You're learning how to speak in a conversation.
Yes. When you're doing a drama, that's what it's about. And then you heighten the drama.
Got you.
So you take it to a different level.
Lisa, we are on the Monday Mile podcast. We like to ask all of our guests.
Yes.
What their relationship is like with Monday. Do you like a Monday?
I do like a Monday because it's start of the week. We do sometimes film on Saturdays, but we always have Sunday off. So Sunday, I'm always with my family. I go back to Bury, go and see my nephews and my niece and my brother and my sister-in-law and stuff. Give them some time. And I have sort of pulled my energy down on a Sunday to chill so that I'm ready for my week. But do you remember at school, like how you would have your homework diary and like timetable?
Yeah.
Being in a program like Emmerdale, our lives are a bit like a school time.
So you pack
so
in the
Monday's
bag
like
on the Sunday night.
It's the new week, new director.
You've got your lunchbox?
No, we've got a lovely caterers.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad
they do
for
a
you.
Mean vegan Wellington. That's like, amen to that. Yeah.
Go on. Are you vegan?
I'm veg. What pesky? Should I tell you? So here we go. Yeah. So since I was 19, I've never eaten meat.
Yeah.
And then 8 years ago, I got diagnosed with anemia and they said,
no way.
Yeah. So I've started incorporating salmon and fish. But yeah, I've never, ever, ever since I was 19.
Wow.
I'm 48 now. Yeah. Yeah. It's just not for me.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. I won't tell you that I am about to go and have a steak then.
Amazing. No. I'd cook it for you. No, I'm not.
Oh, would you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like, yeah.
You could cook?
No, I'm shit.
It does Al cook then?
No, not really. I'm bad.
How are we eating, Lisa? Delivery?
No.
Do you have Deliveroo?
No.
Do you have Deliveroo? I'm not.
Yeah, just eat. I do. I'm good at bunging things in, but I'm just not very good. So if someone said like, oh, make a chicken casserole, I'd look at the ingredients and I would just bung it in and just pray it's going to taste nice. And it'll probably just be okay. If I make scrambled eggs with parmesan, you're going to enjoy it because I'm good at that.
That sounds banging.
But if we're going to go more than scrambled eggs and parmesan, it's not the ivy bag.
And you'll be like there and fresh, ready to serve it, because no hangover.
Yeah.
So I can drop by for a little hangover brekkie on a Sunday.
Yeah, I'll stodge you up.
Eggs and palm. Job done. Yeah. Sold. So are we digging a Monday? I don't think we got...
So Monday's like start of the week and ready to go work-wise.
Nice.
And yeah, I love it. And catch up with all my mates. It's good time in the dressing room, in the studio, dressing room 5. Like I said, it's the... It's all the Dingle women. We've normally got the music on really high.
Yes.
And talking, catching up what we've all done with our families on the weekend. So, yeah.
That sounds like it.
Yeah, you would fit in so well in Dressing Room 5. Yeah.
Maybe we should have done this podcast in Dressing Room 5. Sounds like a vibe.
You could be a Dingle. Definitely be a Dingle. Yeah.
And lastly, so we like to ask all of our guests if they live by a life motto or quote that they can share with our listeners.
What mine would be. Look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And know that that reflection is the best version of you. That's, and I think, I couldn't be more that. I poo that. I do, I wee that.
You're just like embracing it.
I've never changed. And do you know what? And I won't.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Here's to you.
You too. I'm a snuggler. I'm a snuggler rather than a high fiver. Can be a little bit Drew Barrymore-y. You know how she's like that?
Okay.
I'm
down with it. It's
I'm
cold.
Very Drew Barrymore.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Okay, you do realise you are now attached to me for the rest of the podcast. Mother of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, Lisa. It was an absolute honour. I'm so happy that we managed to make this happen.
Yeah.
Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. Do make sure you are subscribed to the audio. It drops every single Monday morning at 12 a.m. for the early risers. Lisa Riley, everybody.
Thank you. It is
a wrap. Have an absolutely epic week.
Yeah. Bye.